Hello again, it's Patrick Kelly with Airtime, the official podcast of the Olympic Styles of USA Wrestling Kansas. Terry Pack founded Legends of Gold, a nationally respected training facility in Beardsford, South Dakota in 2010. The facility hosts camps and clinics with nationally recognized clinicians, training camps in preparation for competitions, and is a USA Wrestling certified regional training center with a focus on Greco. The site even has resident athletes living at the facility, a 40-acre compound with dorms, a cafeteria, and spacious training facilities in addition to outdoor recreation spaces. Team Kansas is on their way to Fargo and made a stop at the facility to put finishing touches on their training and focus for the upcoming Cadet and Junior Nationals in Fargo, North Dakota. Coach Pack was part of the National Power Iowa Central Community College program in Fort Dodge, Iowa as a competitor and spent a 4-year stint as a soldier with the U.S. Marine Corps before jumping into the coaching ranks. He built Neosho Community College in Chanute into a nationally respected program before capturing the Junior College National Championship in 2000 when he was named National JUCO Coach of the Year. It's an honor to have the busy Coach Terry Pack join the program today. Coach Pack, welcome to Airtime.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having us.
Tell us a little bit about your background in the sport as a competitor and a coach.
Well, I grew up in Iowa. I wrestled on the Marine Corps team, mainly freestyle. And then I came back out and went back to Iowa Central and to Westmar University. And I went out to the OTC for a little while and closed out my competitive career. My coaching career started very early, right out of college. And I coached in Northwest Iowa and Southwest Iowa, also coached at Iowa Central, and then was lucky enough to head to Kansas, which is why I know a lot of the Kansas people, and I won a national title there, and then went out to California and coached out there for a few years.
Wow, so quite a diverse background there. Now, when you mentioned in Iowa, was that at the high school level to begin with?
I did start at the high school level, yes, at Maple Valley High School, which is my old conference, and then Southwest Iowa in Sydney, Iowa.
The Legends of Gold was founded in 2010. At that point, you had several experiences in coaching as a college student and as a Marine. How did those experiences help you to build what you have going at LG right now?
Well, I think I was able to, you know, go through a whole realm of coaching, which I think obviously helps. I've coached at the youth level, you know, with bringing my son through. I've coached at the junior college level, and I've coached, you know, at Division I level. So all those things together with the club teams have actually really helped me, along with being in the Marine Corps, just learning structure and teamwork and camaraderie are things that you teach across the wrestling board as well. So all together with, you know, structure and discipline is definitely helped us make a well-rounded environment here at LOG in South Dakota.
So I've read that part of your mission is to create opportunities for kids to attend camps with instruction from high-level athletes and coaches for a reasonable rate. How have you made that happen? And tell us some of the names that have been to your facility to put on camps and clinics.
Yeah, I mean, we've been really fortunate. We've had the best in the world here. I mean, last year Jordan Burroughs was here, Derringer was here, Oliver was here. This year we had Kyle Snyder, Zane Rutherford, Tomasello, and that's just a handful. I mean, we've had Rulon Gardner here. You know, we've had Cunningham here, Bono, Reeder. Obviously, we've had a huge wealth of Division I coaches, Lee Pritz, and a lot of other D1 athletes and coaches on campus. Over the last 7 years, we've had about 70 different clinicians on campus.
I noticed that you have several sponsors listed on your website, including Stanford Health, Easy Flex, Compound Clothing, and several local businesses. Let us know who your sponsors are and how they are supporting your mission of providing opportunities for aspiring wrestlers.
Well, you know, we've been working on trying to grow this year after year, and one of the things that we're excited about right now is we've just signed a long-term agreement with Sanford Health. Sanford Health is going to be helping us build a 500-seat competition center that we're hoping to break ground on in the next 90 days. And with that, next year, it'll hold 6 full mats and seating for 300 to 500, as well as new dorms that will sleep an additional 60 to 80 athletes. So, you know, obviously their help has been crucial in us continuing to grow. And that's one of the things that we're excited about. You know, our local people like Burt's and so many other people have been obviously instrumental in helping us grow. You know, it takes the whole realm of a community to make it strong, and I think that's what sets us apart from, you know, most other private clubs. We're a nonprofit, A, and B, on top of that, our community support is overwhelming throughout the entire area.
Wow, Coach, that's really exciting. Now, when you talk about this facility, is that going to be a dedicated wrestling facility?
Yes, it will be. You know, about 90% of everything on our campus is dedicated to wrestling. Obviously, we have some soccer fields that the combat department uses on our property, because we're about 40 acres, so we have quite a bit of room to grow. But this is going to be dedicated about 90% to wrestling. We're going to be bringing in international teams as well, and they'll be coming in to compete every quarter, as well as holding two senior level tournaments a year for freestyle and Greco.
Wow, really, really exciting. So you're a USA Wrestling certified regional training center. Why is that distinction important, and what does it mean in terms of what you can offer and that you might not otherwise be able to do?
Yeah, I think the main thing that it draws is we started a new program a year ago called the IDA, International Development Academy, where athletes come in, and it's much kind of like Northern Michigan, but it involves freestyle and Greco and folk styles, an integrated environment. And what happens is athletes come here and they live full time, and we wrestle freestyle and Greco all year round, which is unusual compared to most places. The Regional Training Center distinction, along with USA Wrestling, our new partnership with them, provides their U.S. national staff on our campus every 4 weeks. And then it also allows us access to the Olympic Training Center at a week at a time, every 6 weeks. So these kids are afforded opportunities by being tied into the regional training centers that they wouldn't elsewhere have.
So USA Wrestling kind of looks at it that you're providing the physical facilities, and then their part is to provide that cycle of coaches and athletes that come through. Is that kind of the concept?
Yeah, that's pretty much the concept. You know, I mean, I think what we did is we went backwards to like a Wyoming seminary and some of those schools, where they bring them in and they house them year round and they focus folk style. We've actually brought them in and flip flopped it. We still do folk style, but our main emphasis is freestyle and Greco. This year is a lot more Greco. And now our new recruiting class is up to 14 athletes, including two Kansas athletes that will be here full-time this year as well. And that is going to kind of move us into the freestyle realm this year as well.
Wow. Now help me understand a little bit further. Are these athletes going to be high school age that will be connected to public schools in the area, or these post-grads?
These are all 7th through, well, we have a couple that are actually younger than 7th grade, but the main emphasis is 7th through 12th grade. And what they do is they all attend the local school here in town with an articulation agreement. So I don't like the charter school thing. I think the public education in small towns and being able to allow kids the ability to interact with others is super crucial. So we've worked hand in hand with agreements with our local high school to allow our kids the times off that they're training and going overseas to wrestle freestyle and Greco. So it's been a real good combination of both. And this is just our first year. We went from 6 athletes to 14 this year, and we're going to try to grow to 20 next year, and then start a female program the following.
Wow, exciting things happen at Legends of Gold. Is it my assumption that the South Dakota Athletic Association won't allow those kids to participate in, you know, in the regular scholastic season then, because they're doing this?
Yes. Yeah, the full-time kids are not. Now, we have about 32 part-time kids that train in the IDA as well, but they have to follow every high school rule. And in South Dakota, unlike so many other states, they're one of the few states in the country that allow no contact, of even clubs, from the first day of their high school season to the last day of their high school season, other than private lessons. So those kids that do our part-time really are about 9 months, a year, and then they live home locally. And then our full-time guys just train basically through the Olympic Training Center overseas and us here.
Okay. So these kids obviously probably aren't local Beardsburg kids. You're drawing from regionally and nationally, I would imagine.
Yeah, we've got kids from Colorado, Las Vegas, Pennsylvania, Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota. We've got them from all over the country that are here on the full-time basis. And like I said, we're at 14. We're going to take two more before August 15th. We're sorting through applications right now and trying to nail down these last two kids. And then we're going to stop at 16 this year and continue to grow it with the help of USA Wrestling and just our staff as well.
Wow. Sounds like you really have kind of a vision in mind and are going after it. That's terrific.
I appreciate it. I mean, I think wrestling, as far as freestyle and Greco, needed something that would provide a year-round opportunity for these guys. And the problem is that, at the senior level, that's always been, you have to wait till you're done, and then you can go to, you can go to the Olympic Training Center. But obviously, with the Olympic Training Center rules of all now, where they push the senior level athletes out so they can go after a younger group of kids, this has been a great stepping stone, I think, for a progression in freestyle and Greco that we've never had before in the United States.
Great. Now, you've kind of touched on all three major styles that we wrestle in the United States, freestyle, Greco, and folkstyle, but is it not a correct assumption to think that Legends of Gold is kind of primarily a niche Greco facility, or is that not right?
Yeah, I would say right now, I think a lot of people niche, especially between the off season, that we're Greco based, and that's really a lot of what we're doing in this first year with our athletes, is really push the Greco piece on them. And so, like, if you looked at our IDA, I would say that the majority of these guys love Greco, and they enjoy freestyle and they enjoy folkstyle, but their true love is Greco. And that was kind of our emphasis for this year. And now, as we move forward, we're recruiting this next class of a freestyle class. But all of our kids train folkstyle. Our young kids are some of the best folkstyle guys in the country. We've had several kids go Division I in folkstyle, obviously, over the last few years. And we have a great, great group of young kids coming through, like Kellen March and Adam Allard. All of those guys are ranked in the top, 20 in the country. And obviously, we still do that, but we want them to find a love of international wrestling so they can continue their career after college.
So Jesse Thielke is a resident athlete at Legends of Gold, and he's a very accomplished Greco wrestler. He seemed to have disappeared a little bit after the 2016 Rio Olympics, and then he makes a second world team in addition to that 2016 Olympic team. What part did you and your facility play in his resurgence, and what does it mean for the profile of Legends of Gold to have a senior world team member?
Well, I think the profile speaks for itself. I mean, every program in the country wants to put out great guys, and when you put out a great product, other people want to be a part of the product. So I definitely think the profile of Jesse making a world team and Cody and Linares and these other guys, doing so well at the U.S. Open is definitely a plus to us. I think where Jesse was at in his career, in his life, is he just needed a change to where he could, kind of find some solitude in himself and refocus. And I think I think by being here, it's a different environment. I mean, we're 40 acres, we're out in the woods, where it is a completely different training environment than the city. And, you know, I think the Kansas kids that come tomorrow are going to see that same thing. This is a different environment. It's not a university environment. It's kind of an old school Rocky training environment that gives you the chance to just focus on your goals and with very little outside distractions. And I think that we all need that sometimes in our life. And I think that's one of the things that's helped Jesse the most is, you know, we give him responsibility here. He helps coach our kids. He has to be places. He has responsibilities. And I think those are the things that have helped Jesse the most. And on top of the fact that we all are a big family here because we're so close-knit because we're together. So I think those are the things that have really helped Jesse. And, you know, Jesse obviously has helped us with our Greco guys. And we just look forward to, you know, Jesse hopefully making another Olympic team here and putting a couple other guys on with him.
And just another note on Jesse, is there anybody better when the lights are on and his back against the wall? From his Olympic trial semi-victory over Spencer Mango and final with Hadisov to his performance in Istanbul to secure a spot on the Olympics to sweeping Ryan Mango this year in the trials after taking a loss in the Open. He just seems to know how to perform when he needs to. What is it about Jesse that allows him to compete at such a high level when he needs to turn it on?
Yeah, I think the thing with Jesse is he's been doing this for a long time. And obviously from having a Greco background from youth, which is what, you know, we're trying to do here, I think gives him the confidence to know that he can compete at any time. I believe that, you know, those high-level athletes that have started young definitely have an advantage over these other guys. I don't know that I ever have bought the burnout story unless it's people that are cutting a lot of weight year-round or people that lose. And Jesse Thelke's a winner, and he always has been. And the confidence to know that that he can win when he has to is definitely, you know, his biggest attribute.
Yeah, and just a note, Jesse has helped coach Team Kansas for the last several years, and I can tell you from being on staff myself is he's about like a 12-year-old off the mat sometimes, but boy, he can run a room. I mean, he does a nice job running practice, and I think he'll make a heck of a coach someday.
I agree, and you know, and I think that a lot of people that see Jesse outside of the wrestling room don't understand Jesse. You know, they're like, oh gosh, look at him, he acts like he's 10. Well, you know what, that's also the piece that allows him to be so good in the room, because those kids develop a rapport with him that allows them to have a connection that a lot of older coaches don't have. And I think that's a huge attribute to what he's going to be coaching wise, is because those kids like him and they want to work for him and they want to do those things. And I think that's what helps Jesse here is, you know, Jesse knows that we care about him and that we want him here. And I think that's a big environment. And Jesse does the same thing with these youth athletes.
Your son Cody is a 4-time NCAA qualifier and round of 12er for South Dakota State. He is also a resident athlete with a lot of upside in Greco. Are there more resident athletes at Legends of Gold besides Cody and Jesse? And are there more possibilities that you're thinking about bringing in? I mean, you kind of alluded to that, but let's focus on the senior level guys.
Yeah, you bet. You know, obviously Jesse and Cody have been great for us. We just brought in Anthony Linares. He was at Northern Michigan the last 5 years. Anthony is a former university national champion. We brought him in about 2 weeks ago, and he's here full time now. And then we have two more athletes that we're working on that are being brought in for sure at a part time level to come in and train on a monthly basis. And we're looking at pulling those guys over full time, and we'll be making that announcement hopefully in the next 30 days. But our goal is to within the next 16 to 18 months, once we get this new facility up, is to hopefully house 8 to 10 full-time Greco and then 8 to 10 full-time freestyle senior level athletes as well.
Wow. Again, I've said it about 3 times during this, but that is just really exciting and really tribute to what you're building there. That's just great for the sport of wrestling, you know, regionally and in the United States. So congrats on that and keep up the work on that.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
So we are recording this on Tuesday morning, and it won't be aired until Friday. Team Kansas is on their way to Fargo tomorrow, I guess. So when, you know, kind of convolute things here, but the Wednesday morning they're heading up to your facility. What can they expect for an agenda, and just what can they expect from your facility, and what's going to be your message to them if you get a chance to address them?
Yeah, and you know, obviously I have a tie to Kansas that most people don't. I mean, my son grew up in Kansas. I mean, that he won five youth titles in Kansas. I coached my first national championship team in Kansas. So, you know, I want the Kansas people to know that, you know, that's what gave me the start. I actually started Legends of Gold. A lot of people don't know this, in 1998 in Chanute, Kansas. So a lot of people don't know that's actually where Legends of Gold was formed and how it was formed, along with our athletic director. My message to them is, hey, my dream started, you know, 20 years ago, and 20 years later, I'm still chasing my dream. It's never too late to chase a dream. It's never too late to make a difference. And, you know, that's what I want every kid that steps on this campus to learn. But, you know, I think what they'll encounter that's different than everywhere else they've trained, like at the colleges, is it's an environment they can submerge themselves into. There's no outside distractions. You're not going to walk across the street and go to 7-Eleven because it's 2 miles away. You know, it is a complete training environment. I wish that we would have the new facility done when they get here, because obviously we've got two other camps going on right now at the same time. So our facility is jam-packed. We actually have so much room that we're actually putting some people in the hotel in town to accommodate everybody, because we're so full this week. But I mean, obviously that's a great problem to have, and we're really looking forward to, you know, them having a good experience, because we'd really like to have them back next year. Missouri's trained here the last few years as well. Our goal is to try to bring in four teams next year and allow them to train during Fargo.
Okay, imagine we can see the LOG minibus at the Fargo Dome parking lot this year. What other events do you plan to be at for the rest of the summer and into the fall?
Yeah, I mean, the rest of our summers is pretty laid back. I mean, we still have two camps left with Bono Reeder and Seth Gross that'll be coming in for our intensive camp. Competition-wise, we'll probably take about 2.5 to 3 weeks off in August. We've pretty much closed the facility down because we have kids that train year-round. We want them to be kids. We want them to go do other things. So we're going to shut down for about 3 weeks, and then we're going to come back in. We're making a trip to Canada with our freestyle guys, and then we'll be, you know, right back into the folk style grind, getting ready for Super 32 preseason nationals, and then we'll be at the Olympic Training Center right away at the end of September and October.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time today. Good luck, and thanks for all you're doing for our athletes and for the sport of wrestling.
No, thank you for having us. I appreciate you guys giving us such a great platform to, you know, to talk about our visions and our goals, and we appreciate the Kansas guys coming in to stop and check it all out.
This has been Patrick Kelly with Airtime, the official podcast of the Olympic Styles of USA Wrestling Kansas. Until next time, thanks for listening.